Amen. How many have ever called on the Lord? If you called on the Lord recently, don't be shy. Just wave your hands. Say, that's me. I confess I've had to call on the Lord. Truth be told, I just had to call on him just before I got here. Amen. Anybody here in this gathering just had to call on him just before you got here? In fact, look around. You don't know what it took for your neighbor to get here today. But because they're here, you ought to give God a praise. And because you're here, you ought to give God a praise. I found out when you call on him, everything will be all right. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I want to say I thank God for my dear friend and colleague, Dr. Armstrong, who is a brother beloved, one of my favorite preachers in all America. And I thank God for his leadership and his administrative skills and just the way that I'm able to always see him the same way. You know, and I say this, honestly, and I move on. But I love a pastor who remains the same no matter where you see him. No matter what state, no matter where we are, he's the same. And Shiloh, you ought to be proud. I thank God for his leadership. There's no scandal about him. There's no negativity about him. This is an upstanding brother. And I want to let him know publicly as I have privately. Both he and First Lady Armstrong, give them a hand. God bless you. Thank you for having me, sir. To all of the official family of this great house, the Shiloh family, we thank God. I know many of your people here, Dr. Armstrong, your wonderful deacons, Deacon Green, and others, various families, amen. The Young family, the Jackson family, Porter family, I could just go on and on. But this is a wonderful house, and we thank God for the privilege and opportunity to stand here this morning on this Men's Day. Certainly we recognize the chairpersons of this Men's Day ministry and all of the brethren here. Give them a hand on this, their Men's Day. God bless you, brothers. In fact, would every man in the house stand on their feet this morning? Amen. Every brother in the house, you ought to stand and give yourselves a hand. All right. And to this dynamic choir, we thank God, both instrumental and choral, have blessed my heart this morning. And Dr. Armstrong, I would be remiss if I did not, you know, it's a poor frog that doesn't croak for his own pond. Amen. Amen. And I have some wonderful people here with me that I brought all the way from 735 East State Street, Trenton, New Jersey. The Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. With all y'all stand, they came to be their pastor this morning. I got some deacons here. I got some preachers here. I got some nurses and ushers and my personal assistant, armor bearers, members. Thank you, Calvary. God bless you and heaven smile upon you. I see you. I see you. I see you. Amen. So we bless God for the presence of Calvary and these two churches coming together to kiss each other in fellowship. We thank God. Let me say this while I hasten. We are working feverishly trying to get Dr. Armstrong to come for my anniversary in January. Y'all help that happen. Amen. God bless you. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. Mark 8, the 22nd through the 25th verses. When you're there, just say, I'm there. Amen.
Amen.
Mark chapter 8. Verses 22 through 25, we will find this report. And he cometh to Bethsaida, And they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. When he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands upon him. He asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes, made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. The word of the Lord. Amen. How to correct the blurred vision. As it relates to how we as men are perceived. How to correct the blurred vision as it relates to how we are perceived as men. Sisters and brothers, there are distorted views that the world has with regards to how we as men are perceived. Staggering statistics from the Justice Department, the rate and reality of incarceration, blood-stained nihilistic behavior resulted in gang-related murders, the education erosion, the fragmentation of the foundation of the family, and I could go on and on and on. Some of the perceptions and opinions alongside of the pejoratives, the prejudicedness and the persistent pathologies have buttressed some of these perceptions and brought merit to each of them. But sisters and brothers, allow me to explore just two areas of perception this morning, which have been crystallized in the negative connotations and the negation of blackness or of black life by many outside of our ethos and our ethnicity. There is a stereotypical systemic evil that has prejudiced the jury, even when the attempts of no jury tampering have still been made, and we as men are often presumed guilty until proven guilty. I argue in the first instance that the Greek mythologization, Dr. Armstrong, coupled with a European scholarship, listen, particularly between the 15th and 18th century, has ostensibly obscured and blurred, even blinded, the vision of others as it relates to our perception. Come on, somebody. Dr. Cornel West. Dr. Cornel West says it best, that this is called, write it down if you get a chance. I'm not going to be long, but I'm going to try to be strong. It's called the normative gaze. That is from a European perspective, where they thought everything Greek was beautiful. If you weren't blonde-haired and blue-eyed, you were ugly, you were outcast, you were miscounted, you were discounted, you were, come on, marginalized. And so if you did not look like the normative gaze, in other words, if you looked like us, come on somebody, you were marginalized and put out of the mainstream of society. It was called the phrenology study, come on somebody, where they would look at our skulls, they would look at the angle of our eye and jawline, and if it did not match up 98 degrees, then we were looked on as beasts. They looked at the skull and the phrenology facial structure and said, by the look that we had or the skull frame that we had, that we were inferior or we were unintelligent. Somebody tap yourself and say, how wrong were they? They just didn't. Come on, how wrong they were. Because I am an intelligent human being. Turn to somebody and say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I may not look like you expect me to look, but I'm made in the image. Yeah. Or how about the mud seal theory? You know that we were created to be beasts of burdens. Or the corollary theory that said that God made us after he made the other race. And then he came back after he had made up his mind and said, I'll try another race. And we were made after the first correlation. Somebody said, that's not of God. Not only that, but Immanuel Kant, come on somebody, David Hume and Voltaire said that we were inferior as human beings, and there is inextricably no intelligent value to be assigned to them. Somebody say how wrong they were. See, we have to see each other clearly. We have to learn to look at one another and see each other clearly. And stop coming with all of these pejoratives, all of these prejudicenesses, all of these misnomers, all of these notions that because of our color, we are predispositioned to be criminals, or we are predispositioned to be inferior, or that we can't go to Harvard, Yale, or Brown. You got to get that out of your mind. God has made us, and how beautiful we are. Oh, brothers and sisters, how do we correct a blurred vision? In our text today, we see Jesus perfectly able to handle the handicap of blindness and adjust the blurred vision of perceptive moral relativism, respectively. Listen here what I'm saying. In our text today, Jesus demonstrates that not only is he interested in the physical man, but he is also actively engaged in appropriating the whole man. Turn to your neighbor and say, listen, man, he's not only interested in the physical man, but he's interested in the whole man. Is there any man here today that wants to be made whole? You're here today because you want God to complete you. You're here today because you know there's some things about you that only God can help you with. You're here today because you haven't crossed every T or dotted every I. You're here today because in life you've messed up. You come on, but God has given you another chance, another touch, another opportunity. He picked you up and turned you around. You're here today because God is in the business of second chances. In our text today, Dr. Armstrong, we will see two touches, two chances, two choices, one question. I wish I could say that again. In our text today, you will see two touches, two choices, two chances, and one question. The relevant question today is, how dangerous is it if we fail to correct blurred vision? Ask yourself, how dangerous is it if we fail to correct blurred vision? Can I come help somebody today? That there are still people who do not see you clearly. There are still people who, when they see you, there's a blurriness in their vision. They don't have the ability to see you clearly. They see you with all of your past. They see you with all of your negativity. They see what you once were. They see what people have told them about you. They see your past addiction. They see your past trouble. They see your past trial. Can you say, listen, man, for once, can you just see me clearly? Dangerous if we don't correct blurred vision. Number one is, without correcting blurred vision, it misappropriates the object and the subject. Dr. Armstrong, it's in the text. Jesus saw this blind man. Look at what he does. The blind man besought him to touch him. Verse 23, what did Jesus do? He took the blind man by the hand, compassion, and led him outside of the city. You don't see it yet. He took the blind man. He could have healed him in the inner city limits, but he took him out of the city limits and healed him outside the confines of his comfortable zone. What I'm trying to tell you here is that sometimes before your vision can be healed, sometimes before the blurriness can go away, God has to get you away from things and people that you are used to. You're used to people telling you you're blind. You're used to people telling you you have a handicap. You're used to people telling you you ain't no good. You're used to people remembering your addiction. You're used to people talking about your handicap. So what the Lord does is he says, come here. I got to get you out of the confines of negativity. I got to take you away from folk who are going to remind you of what you used to do. I got to get you away. Yeah. He says, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. I got to get you out of what you're used to. I've got to get you out of your familiarity. I've got to get you out of your comfort zone. And sometimes we don't get our healing because we don't want to go. Sometimes we don't get our breakthrough because we still want to be around Pookie and them. Sometimes we don't get our deliverance because we just can't let go of that no good. Sometimes we just stay in our mess because we don't want to go. Says, come on, come on. Somebody look to your neighbor and say, come on, come on, come on, come on, come here, come here, come here, come here. So he says, listen, listen. In order for me to do this, now I can do it there, but I'd rather do it here. We don't get healing on our own terms. It has to be on his terms. Oh, brothers and sisters, he leads the man out of the city. Watch this. I'm trying to help you because if we don't correct blurred vision, it misappropriates the object and the subject. Watch what he does. He spits on the man. Spits in his eyes. Notice how there's no argument on the methodology of Jesus' healing. Because anyway you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. It's gonna take your spit. Go ahead and spit on me. I may not like the way you're doing it, but go ahead and do it. It may not be pleasant at the time, but if it's gonna give me my deliverance, go ahead and do what you got to do. Turn to your neighbor and say, I ain't telling the Lord how to bless me. I ain't telling him how to bring me out. I ain't telling him how to turn it around anyway. Anyway. He blesses me, I'll be satisfied. So he spit on, spit on, spit on. So, now that was, I wish I had time, but that wasn't Jesus' method of healing. That was the healing of that day. That's what all of the doctors did in that day. So he was saying, okay, I'm going to do nothing, you know, dramatic. I'm going to do what you expect to be done. But watch this, my healing's different. Yeah, so watch this. Watch this. So he does what he does. Then he looks at the man and says, do you see anything? Dean Green, he says, well, I do see something. But I see men as trees walking. People are not able to see you clearly. So you, if you don't deal with blurred vision, it misappropriates object and subject. And you'll begin to see men as objects. Come on, somebody. And not be able to really love them for the value that they really are, the humanness that they really are. We've got to see men clearly. Secondly, if you don't deal with blurred vision, it misidentifies and it gives you the commodification. Listen, these are big words, but they don't really mean nothing. Watch this. It's the commodification and the reification against true identification. What did he just say? Listen again. It gives you the commodification and the reification against true identification. So what it is, George Lukacs wrote back in 1927, read it when you get home, Lukacs, he said that the problem with America is that she sees us as commodities and that we are reified. In other words, when you're reified and you become a commodity, then you cannot have your true identity in the eyes of those who's putting this commodification on you. Uh-oh. Somebody says, is he a Marxist? No way. But I do say this, that I learned something out of Marxist theory that says there's something wrong when the bougie keep the proletariat down. Y'all not hearing me today. Oh, what's the proletariat? It's us, the hardworking, those who are trying to make ends meet. Come on, somebody. Those who don't have enough money and there's a whole lot of month left. Those of us who just ain't quite made it yet. Come on, somebody. Those of us who are trying to live from paycheck to paycheck, and you got the bougie keeping us down, looking down their nose on us. Come on, somebody. They'll keep you down. That's called commodification. And they'll make sure you don't get up. That's reification. They'll look at you as a commodity and not a human being. So it misidentifies your true identification. Thirdly, if blurred vision is not corrected, it misunderstands and misses the opportunity to see something to the end. I'm almost done. Watch this. The record says, verse 23, Jesus spit on his eyes, put his hands upon him, asked what he saw, looked up in verse 24 and said, I see men as trees walking. He misunderstood and missed the opportunity to see something to the end. What are you saying, Pastor? Well, what he probably should have said is that I see trees as men walk. You see how you get confused when you don't understand how to appropriate life and object. He should have said, I see trees as men are walking around. But he didn't say that. He says, I see men as trees walking. Jesus says, come here. I need to touch you again. Bye-bye, Shiloh. When I tell you this, sometimes a second touch is needed. I don't know about you, but let me give you my testimony. Sometimes a second touch was needed. Oh no, you sitting there like God ain't never had to come back and give you a remake over. Come on, you're sitting there like you got it all together, like you crossed every T and dotted every I. But I stand here 3 feet above you to tell you that I'm really beneath you, trying to help you to help me get with you, because I'm trying to tell you that for me it took a second touch. Oh, stop it. I'm lying. It took a third and a fourth and a fifth and a sixth and a seventh touch. You don't hear me. When I thought I was up, he had to bring me down. When I thought I was in, he had to bring me out. When I thought I was somebody, he showed me I was nobody.
Come on, man.
Somebody turn to your neighbor and tell him, neighbor, sometimes it takes a second touch. Turn to somebody and say, I don't know about you, but I don't have it all together. But I so thank God that he'll come back for a second touch. Anybody here ever had God to touch them another time? Oh Lord, and if you're not ashamed this morning, turn to somebody and tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, God hand to come back and touch me again. Oh, he touched me. Oh yes, he did. I'm so glad that he touched me. And oh, what joy floods my soul. I'm strong. I'm so glad that the Lord, he touched me. And amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch just like me. Once was lost, but now I'm found. I thank God for saving me. Oh Lord, I've got to leave you here, but before I go, I talked about a man and I talked about some trees, but I see another man and I see one more tree. Somebody know where I'm going? I see one more man and one more tree. That man, his name is Jesus, and that tree
is called Calvary. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart, they rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. I'ma do me one more favor. Just give you have one more neighbor. Or just one more neighbor. Shake that neighbor's hand. Hold that hand. Shake that hand and tell your neighbor, I've had some difficult days. Some weary nights I had to cry sometimes. You don't know, like I know, what the Lord has done for me. He picked me up, turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. He put running in my feet, clapping in my hands, and joy in my heart.
And it gave me a brand new sight. I'm sorry, Shiloh. Won't it do it? I'm sorry, Shiloh. But ain't he all right? If I was home, I would say, ain't he all right? He's all right. You've got to correct that blurred vision so that you don't misappropriate object and subject. You don't misunderstand the value of mankind. You don't miss the opportunity to see things to the end. He touched him. He healed him. He said, what do you see now? He said, I see every man clearly. My vision is no longer blurred. My prejudices have been taken care of. I didn't see men right. I saw them mixed up and tangled up with other things. But it's not until you let the Lord touch you that you'll begin to really understand the value of human beings and love one another clearly, without any drama, without any foolishness, without any non-forgiveness. There's some people who can't see you clearly yet, but don't you worry. God is in the business of another touch. Dr. Armstrong has given me permission to open the doors of his church. And we are trained that you don't just open the doors of another man's church unless he gives you the permission to do so. But he has given me the liberty to ask if there be one in our midst that needs their vision handled, needs your vision corrected and adjusted. You can come today, receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can come today. Unite with this great church. The doors of this church are open. Follow Dr. Armstrong as he follows Christ. The doors of this church are open. Candidate for baptism by letter, Christian experience, you can come. What a great church. What a great leader. What a great visionary. Oh, glory. God bless you.
Take me back to